This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
News, I'm Dave Packer. Two suspects have been arrested in France in connection with last week's brazen heist at the Louvre.
Authorities say they arrested one of the men Saturday evening at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport, allegedly as he was about to fly to Algeria. Police say the suspects live in a suburb of Paris, and this news emerges one full week after four robbers broke into the Louvre as it was opening last Sunday. Disguised as construction workers, they used a cherry picker to scale one of the walls and then used angle saws and other tools to break into display cases and stole $100 million worth of jewelry.
ABC's Marcus Moore. President Trump spending the first day of his Far East tour in Malaysia, signing a peace agreement between Cambodia and Thailand. Melissa has exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm is now heading directly for Jamaica. Meteorologists say Melissa could become the strongest hurricane to impact the island in more than 35 years. This is ABC News. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, in an interview today, warned trade will shift away from the United States in part because of the Trump administration's tariff policy and rejection of green energy. Speaking at a business and investment forum in Malaysia, Carney said the rest of the world will move toward lower carbon energy and manufacturing without U.S. leadership or innovation.
That is not a priority at present in the United States, or at least it's not an administration priority in the United States. So naturally, trade is going to shift away.
President Trump said this weekend he plans to hike tariffs on imports of Canadian goods by an extra 10% because an anti-tariff television ad was pulled by the Canadian, by the province of Ontario. Because it wasn't pulled, the ad featured old footage of President Ronald Reagan criticizing the use of tariffs.
Ronald Reagan loved tariffs, and they said he didn't. And I guess it was AI or some, they cheated badly.
Trump calling that actual recording of one of Reagan's radio addresses a fraud. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's spooky season, and that means kids all over Wisconsin are trick-or-treating. Lisa Hale has some safety information for families.
I think when we talk about safety in general, every year somewhere in the country, there tends to be some sort of concern about candy. Now, is it happening everywhere? No.
That's Lieutenant Megan Cash, the Public Information and Community Resources Officer with the Appleton Police Department. To stay safe and for peace of mind, Cash says there are steps parents and kids can take to ensure their candy and other treats are safe.
Wait till you get home looking through that candy. Know where you're going trick-or-treating. Understand some of those concerns can still exist, but more of that concern is about just like making sure things aren't unwrapped.
Cash said when choosing a costume, to avoid long trailing fabric that can be a tripping hazard. If your child is wearing a mask, make sure the eye holes are large enough for them to see clearly, or forgo the mask completely and use makeup instead. Give trick-or-treaters flashlights or glow sticks to help them see better, and so drivers can see the little monsters, ghosts, witches, and Power Rangers better.
Trying to maintain that visibility is really important. But let's say you are going as a group, staying in that group, making sure that when you're moving in that group that you're staying on the sidewalks. Crossing the road safely is really important. You know, looking both ways.
Check with your local municipality for trick-or-treating days and times. And as you prepare for the spooky night, make it less scary by using safety tricks that make treats even better. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mainly sunny for today, a high in the low 60s. A mostly clear sky tonight, low in the mid-30s. And more sun on Monday, a high near 60. After that, rain chances return for Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Right now, it's 53.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We talk about the shutdown status and what challenges Americans face with the removal of the ACA subsidies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and today I am thrilled to welcome a remarkable colleague and friend, Dr. Anina Bublik-Anderson, an obstetrician, gynecologist, and family medicine doctor, and so much more, who is doing something truly transformative for women's health in Wisconsin. She is the engine behind a brand new, groundbreaking menopause and sexual health clinic in Wausau, of all places, filling a critical gap in care that has left countless women struggling in silence. And as a breast cancer survivor herself, and we're recognizing Breast Cancer Awareness Month now, she brings both professional expertise and deeply personal understanding to this work. For way too long, menopause has been treated as something that women should simply endure quietly, like it's not a significant health transition for us, affecting half of the population. We deserve comprehensive medical attention for this. If we're lucky enough to hit age 50, this is our destiny. And it's not just hot flashes, it's cardiovascular health, it's cancer, it's bleeding, it's mood, it's so much more. And the lack of education, the shortage of trained providers, and the political interference in evidence-based medicine have all created a crisis in women's midlife healthcare. But change is happening. From Hollywood to Capitol Hill, advocates like Halle Berry are joining physicians like us to demand better. We're fighting for federal funding, improved medical education, and accessible care. We're breaking the stigma and we're breaking the silence. And that's what today's conversation is about. It's more than just menopause care, more than just sexual health. It's about how we're reclaiming women's health from the shadows of medical neglect and political manipulation. So let's dive in. Anina, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kristen. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show. This is great.
I am so excited for what you're doing because you are a Wausau gal. You were a practicing OBGYN doc delivering babies when breast cancer struck, and your journey has really created this opportunity for you. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it really has. I was living the dream, you know, raising three small children and full scope OBGYN practice, robotic surgery, lots of babies, and then it all came to a screeching halt when I found a mass in my breast and my mammogram had missed it 5 months earlier. And that, you know, sent me down that path of, you know, kind of crossed over from physician to patient. It was became very well acquainted with oncology and surgery and plastics and oncology and like the whole thing. And, yeah, so I stopped practice so I could undergo chemotherapy for 6 months and then had a bilateral mastectomy and then radiation after that and then a reconstructive surgery, which in and of itself was extremely, probably almost the hardest part of the whole thing was like my recovery from that because it was a very long surgery and so much that I wasn't even aware that I was going to be experiencing as a result of this surgery. So it's really interesting because I'm like, wait,
you take care of women. Like you would think that you would have a better idea, but you were young and you had little kids at home.
I did.
And so there you are in the middle of this.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. My youngest was in kindergarten and I was 45 years old. And I'd been having routine testing since I was 35 and never picked up anything. So I'm really thankful that I was able to, you know, find that mass, because I don't think I would have made it to my next mammogram because this was a triple negative breast cancer, particularly aggressive. And, you know, it was pretty tricky. But I had like a rock star team through Mayo Clinic that I was working with. So grateful that I landed there.
This is a great opportunity for two OBGYN doctors to remind our listeners, breast cancer screening, get your mammograms, do your self-exams, just know what your breasts look and feel like.
Absolutely. That saved my life, you know.
Yeah.
Mammograms are really important, and just knowing your body, knowing what's different. And if you feel something that wasn't there before, or it feels odd or weird, like it needs to be evaluated. And if you're told to just don't worry about it, maybe you're dismissed, you're told like, well, maybe we'll check it out in a couple cycles. Like, don't listen to that. Find somebody else, go to a breast center, have somebody image it, palpate it, like get it looked at.
Right. It's too important. So there you were in the midst of this really intense treatment for this very scary cancer. But then your life continued. Like you went on. There must have been those moments where you felt like, I don't know if I have a future. But here you are a decade later.
Yeah, I really, you know, you said like if we're lucky enough to make it to 50, like I am in that category. I didn't know if I would see my son graduate from high school. And when he graduated in 2021, it was like, you know, everybody was crying. It was really a moment. And so my youngest, who was in kindergarten when this all started, I just sent her off to Madison. So I've seen her graduate too. So I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. I made it over 10 years. Like once I didn't die after 3 years, I was sort of graduating from oncology. So, I really didn't know what to expect. I knew I couldn't go back to the life that I was living. I knew I needed to take care of myself. I needed to focus on getting better and healing, because I was just sort of thrust back into the world of the living. And being an oncology patient, it's really like you're invisible. Like people do not see you. And they also will approach you and give you all kinds of advice, like at Menards, like, it's just like when you're pregnant, like it's so obvious, you know. I have a turban on, lost all my hair. And people like would walk up to me and be like, oh, you have cancer. Like you need to drink spring water. Like that's why you have to eat organic, because that's why you got cancer. And I was like, accosted.
Oh, really?
Like not in.
They didn't teach me that in medical school.
Yeah,
thank you for caring.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I'd be at the pharmacy and the picking something up. And then the pharmacist who knew me, because they filled my prescriptions that I wrote for my patients. Yeah, I heard you had cancer. Oh, I knew so-and-so, my relative, friend, whatever. Oh, and they died.
Like, oh, wow.
I heard that so many times. Oh, I knew somebody who had that cancer. Oh, and they died. It's like,
wow.
Thanks. I guess. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
So if you know somebody that has cancer, don't say that to them.
Common sense would dictate support is what you need. And you had a lot of support, and you went from having a crazy life, like being an OBGYN doctor, having three little kids, going all the time. You're not taking care of yourself. You can't, there's not enough time, but you went from that to being invisible to now.
Yeah.
What did you learn from having been on both sides of it?
Yeah.
That set you in this direction to open your own menopause clinic and sexual health clinic. This is a huge undertaking, but man, do we need you.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Like, okay, so I went from invisible and really dismissed. Even I would go with concerns. You know, I have two daughters. Like, what do I tell them about how do they stay healthy? And then, you know, I saw changes to my blood work that I was concerned about. And my, you know, I saw my thyroid. It was trending up. I saw my blood sugar trending. I'm like, is this a menopause? Because I was thrown into menopause from the chemotherapy. And I was like, what is this metabolic? What's going on? Well, then just don't worry about it. Like, you don't meet criteria for diabetes yet. And you don't need to monitor your blood sugar. It's fine. Like, go live your life. Your hair grew back, you know. And it was like, well, how do I do that? How do I live my life when I don't know? Am I going to be here in 2 years? Like, so
like you're
really,
checking off their boxes, but you're not feeling like you are being taken care of as a whole person and you're seeking more answers.
Right. And I just was extremely anxious, very depressed, like changes to my body, just disconnected from like who I was and where am I now? Where am I going? And so that was a struggle. And so I started listening to podcasts like yours. I started, you know, reading articles. I started looking into other, you know, avenues. I was investigating functional medicine. I did a fellowship in integrative medicine and went to conferences. I went to the Ishwish conference and I landed there and I was like, these are my people. Like all about women's health, listening to them and validating and like what their concerns are and what it's like to live in an environment where medical research isn't being done. I was like, oh, this sounds so familiar. Like, I know this and I know I can help people. So I got to a point where it was like, I was so compelled that I couldn't like not go back into patient care because it's been 11 years. I've been teaching and just kind of doing all this learning and thinking like, well, I could help them. Like, I know I could do something. I could do this. And like, oh, maybe this person could use something like this. I could help them. And I was like, well, I guess I have to do this now.
Yeah. Because both your knowledge and your experience brought you to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I came out the other end and I was thinking about it for a couple of years and, just decided it was time.
So what kinds of services do you offer at your clinic for our listeners who are thinking, oh, me too? Because there are so many of us. I mean, 1 in 8 women in this country will have breast cancer in her lifetime. Mm-hmm. But everybody who lives through menopause will have menopause. So, and if you go through menopause, it's likely that you'll have some sort of an experience that you'll be seeking information. So what do you offer?
Yeah. So I'm focusing on, you know, women in this transitional time of, you know, peri and menopause, which can last years. Perimenopause can last years and that whole transition. So I wanted to create a place where stories are heard, where I believe them, where I have the opportunity to provide different avenues for managing all the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause from like a functional integrative medicine sort of informed mindset, if that's what they're into, but, or like other medications like hormone replacement therapy. And if it's, and I'm rather new to the sexual medicine sort of field, but I'm connected to like sex therapists, to pelvic floor PT that like specialize in women with a lot of concerns with pelvic floor. So I can refer, and I'm continuing to like learn and understand how to navigate. Cause a lot of this, I wasn't covered in residency, you know?
Oh, none of it's covered in residency.
None of it.
We have to talk about that too.
Yeah. And like my CME, there's been a little bit of sexual medicine like recently, and maybe a little more on menopause, especially in this past cycle for 2024, and like more articles, surrounding it. But, it's not mainstream information and women are just desperate to be heard and listened to.
They sure are. I think that's the most important thing is building that trust with your provider and really feeling heard and then knowing what your options are. And that's exactly what you are providing at Pause Medicine. I don't think we said it. Pause Medicine. I'm talking with Dr. Anita Bublik-Anderson. She's got a new clinic in Wausau that offers menopause care, sexual wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what kind of information we get in training and why this deficit exists. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic Media app and all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Football season is heating up on Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So keep the season rolling by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Plus, the app for Prize Picks is really simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less in their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. Prize Picks is also available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Most importantly, they don't play about your money. All transactions on the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today, use code SUNDAY, and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code SUNDAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm talking with Dr. Anita Bublik-Anderson. She is just starting a sexual health and menopause clinic in Wausau, Wisconsin, because it's based on her own personal experience. She's a breast cancer survivor, and she knows what it feels like to be experiencing all of these terrible symptoms and not have anywhere to turn. So this is an incredible resource, not just for the women of Wausau, but the women of Wisconsin. And Anita, we're so excited to have you here today to talk about this. In the last segment, we talked a little bit about medical education. This is your bread and butter. You've been teaching medical students now for over a decade. When I was in medical school, we got about 30 minutes on menopause and an hour on manopause. Probably nothing.
I have no memory. I have no memory of anything in medical school related to menopause. I mean, it would have been in an endocrinology unit, maybe in like first year, maybe second year.
That's a long time ago.
This was like 1994, so, you know, it was a while ago, but I don't remember anything, and I certainly don't remember anything in my family practice residency or my OBGYN residency.
Which is shocking.
Neither. And then all the CME we've done, you and I have to do every year.
Continuing medical education. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been very little up until recently. There's been some really nice articles in 2024 that I selected.
Yeah, I think that there have been more because of the big push by people like Halle Berry, who has stepped up and made this so visible. And sometimes, because, you know, you were saying earlier that menopause has been living in the shadows and we haven't been able to talk about it. But when somebody like Halle Berry starts talking about these things, and it just gives the rest of us permission to talk about it and to share our experiences. That is huge. What do you think about this kind of high profile advocacy and what it means for the future of PAWSE, your new clinic in Wausau?
I love it. I think the more, you know, the more visibility that, you know, people with a voice have to speak out and say, to just make this like normalized, like, guess what? Women age, you know, like, and we live beyond our reproductive potential. And like, I definitely am, you know? And so we're worth paying attention to. We demand to be paid attention to and taken care of, and like get the things that are going to improve our life. I think it's, we've been denied that for so long.
But women can pound their fists as much as they want to, unless physicians are listening.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Unless healthcare providers hear us and have options for us, it doesn't matter. So we have a role to play here in advocating for change and making sure that these services are available.
Yes. And there are so many organizations like ISHWISH, like the Menopause Society, like ACOG is kind of getting there. There's just more information out there that is current. That, you know, there's a big campaign that Rachel Rubin is behind to like change the black box warning that's on every single estrogen product in this country, despite how it's administered, despite its dose or like how it's made. And so that was like over the summer, I think. And I hope they're going to look at that. And so as many people as we can to get involved, to realize that this is important, and it's costing lives. Women, as we age, hip fractures and urinary tract infections, like even vaginal estrogen has a black box warning, and it's like it's so safe.
The
like,
black box warning
should use it.
It doesn't reflect what's actually happening with the product, and we've got years of data to back it up. But for some crazy reason, that warning stays on all of these products, including, as you mentioned, vaginal estrogen, which we commonly use for one of the most common symptoms of menopause, which is vaginal dryness and sexual discomfort. And vaginal estrogen is so easy, even as a breast cancer survivor. Many breast cancer survivors can use vaginal estrogen safely.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they can. The safety data is there.
Yet
and
a lot of
also it prevents urinary tract infections, which is a really common problem for women as we age, and it causes urosepsis and death. And we could save lives by taking this black box warning off and helping women with this issue as we age. Period.
Or no period,
or
which
no period
is the definition of menopause.
That's right.
I couldn't help myself. And vaginal estrogen, we should talk about urosepsis, you mentioned. That's when you get a urinary tract infection, and then it ends up going into your bloodstream. And it can be deadly, especially for older women. So there are so many reasons why if you are having a problem with those parts that are kind of unspeakable and hard to talk about, it's important to talk about them. They, not only could you have better quality of life and certainly better sex, but it could literally be life-saving to treat your vaginal dryness.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say to that. Like, dang, like...
Yes. And I definitely want to talk about your history as a breast cancer survivor and how you approach treating these really tender issues that in my experience as an OBGYN doc, when I'm helping people who are living with this history of breast cancer or of other cancers that are considered estrogen sensitive, it's really tricky to negotiate their care with their oncologist because some of the oncologists are not on board with using additional treatments like vaginal estrogen to help some of these common problems.
Now, this is very tricky. I will say, okay, vaginal estrogen, women can use whether or not they've had breast cancer, whether or not it was hormone estrogen receptor positive or not, like it, the safety data is there. So when we get into systemic estrogen, so this is, you know, probably a patch or a cream that's applied to the skin and it's absorbed that way. There are oral formulations that aren't as common, and they also have a different risk profile as far as causing blood clot, the likelihood of a blood clot to occur. So this is really, this is a very touchy situation. There are...
It is touchy, but we have to take a break. But I want to talk about this because this is like the heart of it, Anita.
I'm
talking with Dr. Anita Bublik-Anderson. She's the founder of Pause Medicine, a new clinic in Wausau that offers menopause care, sexual wellness, and lifestyle medicine. When we come back, we're going to hit that super controversial topic. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic Media app and the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
News, I'm Dave Packer. Two suspects have been arrested in France in connection with last week's brazen heist at the Louvre.
Authorities say they arrested one of the men Saturday evening at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport, allegedly as he was about to fly to Algeria. Police say the suspects live in a suburb of Paris, and this news emerges one full week after four robbers broke into the Louvre as it was opening last Sunday. Disguised as construction workers, they used a cherry picker to scale one of the walls and then used angle saws and other tools to break into display cases and stole $100 million worth of jewelry.
ABC's Marcus Moore. President Trump spending the first day of his Far East tour in Malaysia, signing a peace agreement between Cambodia and Thailand. Melissa has exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm is now heading directly for Jamaica. Meteorologists say Melissa could become the strongest hurricane to impact the island in more than 35 years. This is ABC News.
The Badgers lose in Oregon. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers losing on the road to the Oregon Ducks 21-7 on a rainy night. Wisconsin had six starting players injured and one of their best linebackers, Darrell Peterson, ejected in the third quarter for targeting after his hit on the Ducks' backup quarterback, head coach Luke Fickell.
This is a tough one to swallow again, but tougher because, you know, that there's some things to be proud of. There's also some things to be disappointed in. We can't play undisciplined. We can't have as many penalties as we have. We can't, you know, make really poor decisions, you know, one of our seniors to get ejected. That was one of those things tonight. We're not going to win the football game, especially against a team like this on the road. If we can't play more disciplined, we can't eliminate some of those big penalties. I think that stands out to me more than anything else.
So the Badgers are now 2-6. They have a bye next week, then host the Washington Huskies on Saturday, November 8th with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some of you might remember Jeremy Renner from the less popular Bourne movie. It was pretty subpar, although not entirely his fault. In 2023, on New Year's Day, the mayor of Kingstown actor was seriously injured after saving his nephew from being crushed by a 14,000-pound snowplow. The Hurt Locker star had 30 broken bones, including 14 broken ribs, a spinal fracture, a broken tibia, a punctured lung, a sliced liver, a broken and dislocated collarbone, and a major head laceration. Season 4 of yet another Taylor Sheridan show, The Mayor of Kingstown, drops October 26th on Paramount. This is the age of the re-release, and you can add Wedding Crashers to the list of films that you can see soon on the big screen. The Owen Wilson Vince Vaughn comedy celebrates its 20th anniversary by heading back to theaters. Warner Brothers says the film will hit theaters again December 4th and 11th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mainly sunny for today, a high in the low 60s. A mostly clear sky tonight, low in the mid-30s. And more sun on Monday, a high near 60. After that, rain chances return for Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Currently 54 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Matt Nair on Air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
And yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So.
Oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are energy prices down? What about drill, baby, drill? Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am here with my colleague, Dr. Anita Bublik-Anderson. She just opened a new clinic in Wausau called Pause Medicine. They offer menopause care. They offer sexual health care and lifestyle medicine. And a lot of it is based on Anita's own experience. Now, if you missed any of our previous conversation where we talked about cancer and sex and all the dicey things, you're definitely going to want to hear it. So tune in wherever you get your podcasts or on my YouTube channel if you want to watch us too. We're at Dr. Kristen Lierley. We were just talking in the last segment about all the different options for estrogen therapy. And we talked a little bit about vaginal estrogen and how really, really safe it is and how important it is if you're having those kinds of symptoms to have them evaluated. We're just starting to talk about systemic estrogen, which is like for your whole body. So it's a cream, a spray, maybe a pill. Hey, Anita, where do you stand on that kind of therapy and how does that work within the context of the new clinic that you're opening?
Yeah, so my goal is to meet patients where they're at. So if they want to stay away from, there's a lot of safety data out there, but if that's something that doesn't sit well with a patient, then there are other options. There are other products that you can take to at least relieve some of the menopausal symptoms that you could be dealing with. If it's a sleep disturbance, if it's an energy thing, if it's hot flashes. There are other options out there. Some are herbal, some other things you can do to optimize your sleep. And then hormone replacement therapy in the form of, you know, a topical like patch spray. Those are options. Some women don't like to have things on their skin. There is an oral therapy too, but that's, you know, a little more likely to cause a blood clot, but it's certainly an option for many people.
Yeah, and a little more likely means like it's still pretty incremental.
Still pretty rare. The oral medication is, so what was it? I don't know.
Are you talking about the Women's Health Initiative?
Yeah, the Women's Health Initiative study,
so
when that came out.
It was
so long ago. And it was on a different type of hormone. And this is like the whole mythology of like how we got here was the release of that study before it was even like analyzed, it was released to the media. And, and so it became this whole big, you know, controversial thing that, you know, estrogen hormone replacement therapy causes breast cancer. And the hormone that they were using at the time was called Premarin, which is derived from pregnant horse urine. Like, guess what? We don't use that anymore.
Yeah, I think we need to back up a little bit. So the Women's Health Initiative study was a huge study, and it was intended to look at heart health, not at menopause symptoms so much.
Correct.
But yes. What happened was when they looked at the data early on, they saw some concerning trends, so they just stopped it. And the message that the public got was hormone therapy is not safe. So that happened when you were practicing. I was in training, and it was like we didn't get any training on hormone therapy because at the time we weren't prescribing it. Doctors were not prescribing it. Patients were not seeking it. And it really forced people who were suffering and don't get me wrong. People suffer with menopause. Some people Absolutely. Breeze right through it and it's no problem. Other right. people, vaginal dryness, hot flashes, sleep disturbances, mood issues, you name it, it certainly could be perimenopause. And that's why it's so important to get it checked out, get some answers so you know what your options are.
And you might not even be suffering greatly, as you say, from all those symptoms, but maybe you want to optimize your bone health or your cardiovascular health.
Yes.
And that's why you want to be on estrogen, because you, or maybe your libido is decreased. So, and maybe you have some vaginal dryness. So like you can use a vaginal estrogen, and there's systemic estrogen that you can take too that can help with those things. But like for your bone health, your cardiovascular health, those are systemic types of like the patch or a spray, even the oral form that can help you with those endpoints. And like the number one killer of women, it's cardiovascular disease.
Yes.
At this age. And if women get a hip fracture, then they're more likely to die within the next year. And so, bone health is so important, as is our muscle health.
Well, and a lot of us don't put those things together because you think about like hot flashes, estrogen, but really in order to have strong bones, we need estrogen to be able to maintain our bone health. We lose a lot of our bone density when we go through the menopause process, and cardiovascular health as well. So these are really, really important endpoints and things that you need to be talking with your healthcare provider about.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot, because of the shadow of the Women's Health Initiative study, all of us who like trained during that time, and the fact that there's not a lot of like, where do you go for your information? Like,
right.
You know, like, where do you find this?
TikTok.
You really have to seek it out, and you really have to advocate for yourself and be like, hey, I read this. I heard this. I want to, you know, I really want to consider this. And, you know, can you imagine how frustrating it would be to like go to your doctor, to get up the courage to like go in there and ask and inquire and be turned down? Like, no, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
we don't. I know. I was talking with a colleague the other day, and they were talking about a TikTok video about using mustard vaginally to treat your symptoms. I know. I was like, mustard?
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, maybe. If you're having some problems, maybe just go get it checked out. But truthfully, there are a lot of people who just can't afford or can't access or are too worried, too shy, too embarrassed to admit that they're having a problem. So they do turn to social media. And that's very frustrating, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been out of patient care for 11 years, but like, I get it. Like, I could see how it's hard to battle. We used to call it Dr. Google. But like, patients are informed, and it's like, you have to meet them where they're at and be curious. Like, that's interesting, you know, that you got that information. So I have some information, if you care to hear it, that, you know, might be, if you're interested in hearing it, then okay. So you just have to kind of have that open mindset and try to understand where they're coming from. And they're there in front of you for a reason.
Right. Do you ever find that they come to you and they say, I'm really sorry, but I Googled this?
No, it's fine. Like,
it's totally fine. Okay. And you know that I Google things. I mean, I don't know everything about everything.
You can learn anything on YouTube. Anything.
Yes.
You can install a, you know, furnace.
But don't install mustard in your vagina.
Don't do that. That just sounds like a bad idea. It just sounds bad.
Can we talk a little bit about sexual health?
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand the relationship between sexual health and menopause care. What is the overlap there?
I think sexual health is an important part of women, basically anybody who's having sex. I mean, I think it's an important part of our life. Like, wars are fought over sex, or they like, you know.
Yes, they are.
It's so elemental. It's just such an important part of our life. And I got zero training in this as an OBGYN. Like, I was delivering all the babies. I was preventing pregnancies. I was terminating pregnancies. I was taking care of everybody pregnant, but I got very little education on the sexual part of it. And a lot of that, I understand, happens in urology, which is typically like for men. And so maybe they're getting all the education, like, people who are dealing in women's health, like, aren't kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just feeling like it's not there. And people are really grossly misinformed. And, you know, that bleeds over into a different area of our work, which is reproductive medicine, and how you look at like what's happening in the abortion world and being able to access birth control and the politicization of that piece of it. It's kind of a mirror of what's happening in menopause.
It's from my standpoint, it has to do with body autonomy. So if, you know, you are an agent of your body, and if there's, you should be in charge of like what's going in it and who has access to it and how it's, you're moving through the world and your life. So I think, you know, reproductive health is how I got into medicine to begin with. And that had a lot to do with body autonomy. And my, you know, one of the greatest things I loved about my job was that women would come to me and they'd be like, you know, they're having crazy bleeding and they can't wear white pants anymore, you know, in the mm-hmm. summer, and they just want to wear white pants again. I'm like, yes, I can help you. Or they don't want to have a pregnancy like just now, but it's like, okay, let's find the right thing for you that's going to work for you so you can like live the life you want to live. And when you're ready to have a family or try to get pregnant, then like, let's work on that too. So, and I think in menopause, it's the same thing. Like, how are things going? How are you suffering? Like, how can I help you to, you know, live with strength and vitality and intentionally? And like, what are your goals? Like, where do you want to be? How do you want to age 10, 20 years from now? Let's get on that.
It's so important. And it's not just about, here are some hormones. It's about so much more than that. When you're treating someone holistically, mm-hmm. what are the other major components of the kind of care that you are delivering at Pause Medicine?
Yeah. So the lifestyle medicine part of it, I think one way to just wrap everything around this big blanket of how to optimize your health. So how can you optimize your cardiovascular health, your bone health, your muscles? What's called, when you muscle waste as you get older, it's called sarcopenia. And, you know, we'll get weaker. We'll lose our cardiovascular capacity as we age just because the clock is running. Mm-hmm. So we really have to be intentional about how we move our bodies. We have to be intentional about how we sleep and prioritize it, how we reduce stress. One of the most important things we can do is to address what we eat. Mm-hmm. And our diet is like, what we're putting into our body is the most important pillar, I think. And to, you know, manage all these metabolic changes that occur as we age, as we're in menopause, too. Insulin resistance is more common. Lipid abnormalities are more common. So you have to kind of address it in this multimodal way. But if you can move through the world and like eat clean, eat healthy, lots of vegetables and like the right amount of protein and lift weights and do your cardio and, you know, sleep and address your stress and get out there in the community and, you know, be with people, be with your people and, you know, contribute. I think that's just magical.
It seems so simple, doesn't it?
It does, right? It is.
I'm so glad that you mentioned the whole get out in your community piece, though, because that is mm-hmm. a big component of our mental health. And I think especially since COVID, many people have felt isolated. We've forgotten how to talk to each other. We've forgotten how to support each other. And you need that as human beings, especially as older human beings, because that's the way that we grew up. That's what we're used to. And when we don't have that in our lives, we really suffer from a mental health standpoint.
We do. And that was something I was really intentional about in my practice, is I didn't want it to be a virtual. I mean, I have virtual capacity. I can do telehealth, but I really want to sit down. I want to, you know, be in the room with somebody. I want to be able to connect. I wanted to create a space where women can come together and not only be validated, but like share stories and like have events and like, you know, be together, because we lost that during COVID. And it's just so important.
We need each other.
Yeah, we do.
Very true. All right. When we come back, recognizing that our healthcare system is broken and chaotic and incredibly challenging both to receive and give care. Mm-hmm. Also, there is opportunity, right? Chaos creates opportunity. So, Anita, I want to hear your vision for women's midlife healthcare in Wisconsin and beyond. And I know you have a lot of thoughts about this. Yeah. All right, I'm talking with Dr. Anita Bublik-Anderson. She is the founder of Pause Medicine, a new clinic in Wausau that offers menopause care, sexual wellness, and lifestyle medicine. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature passed a new gerrymandered congressional map October 22nd, likely adding a GOP congressional seat to offset expected 2026 midterm losses in the U.S. House. Legislators diluted black voting power to do it, but say it was for partisan reasons. The map likely gives Republicans an 11-3 advantage in a purple state where President Trump won by only 3.3% in 2024. State leaders went out of their way to say it was manipulated to help maintain GOP control of the U.S. House. State Senator Ralph Hayes said, "The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the congressional delegation." Why admit the cheating? The U.S. Supreme Court's Rucho decision said gerrymandering for partisan reasons was a state political matter, not a matter for the federal courts. For the moment, racial gerrymandering is still illegal under the Voting Rights Act, so the deliberate admission of partisan gerrymandering helps to create an alibi when the case reaches federal court. The new map changed only Congressional District 1, a currently competitive Northeast district where black Congressman Don Davis won by 2%. A North Carolina Black Alliance analysis shows it shifted 8% of black voters into adjoining redder districts, diluting black voting power and tilting District 1 Republican. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the patriotic millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with my colleague, Dr. Anita Bublik-Anderson. She is the founder of Pause Medicine in Wausau. It is a new clinic that offers menopause care and sexual wellness and lifestyle medicine. And she listens. And that's amazing. We've been talking about menopause and sex and cancer, just the usual girl stuff. Mm-hmm. And when we left the last segment, I asked Anita to share her vision for the future of women's midlife healthcare, because it's been rough for us pretty much our entire lifetime as women, as providers, and our healthcare system is really broken. But in that chaos, there may be some opportunity, and that seems to be, at least in part, from where your clinic and your desire to help people is coming from.
Yeah, for sure. I it took me a long time to get to this point where I am right now. 11 years after cancer, I had to just scratch my way back to health and to where I felt whole again, where I'm like living the life with that I want, and I'm like meeting my purpose, and it's helping women has been my I don't know what I went into medicine for to begin with. So I feel like I've arrived, and it took me a long time to find a doctor that would partner with me, you know, and to give me what I needed. And
as a patient. Yes.
I got a lot of things from doctors. They saved my life. I had an amazing team at Mayo. I had excellent care, and it also took me, I was also dismissed by many doctors for my concerns that I had, and was just told, you know, you don't meet criteria, or this is what we have for you, or we just don't do that. And so I found somebody that I was able to partner with, and that's worked out really well for me, but it took me a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to be a resource so that women, I mean, I'm pretty resourceful. You know, I got my way through medical school and where I am today. And I just didn't want women to have to fight so hard to find somebody who would listen to them. But my dream would be for women to kind of be able to tune into their body and meet with somebody who would be curious, who would listen, who would partner with them and go on this journey together to like hold their hand and be like, you know, maybe I don't have all the answers right now, but I'm willing to like look around and listen to what you have to say and give you my opinion and maybe think about like some other way if that's what you think would work better for you. And I think partnering with a patient, I think that's what this is all about. It's about meeting people where they're at and hearing them and kind of respecting their place of where they are. We can be a resource. We can help educate also. That's a lot of what we do in medicine. I mean, especially around pregnancy, because like if you've never had a baby, like it is like unknown territory if you've mm-hmm. never had a kid. Like
it's a journey.
It is. It's wow. Yeah. You know, and like parenthood to begin with. I still have a teenager. So like that was a whole, you know, raising teenagers is challenging.
Just like everything else, like when it comes to your body, like you're always, everything is evolving. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need a partner and you need somebody who will advocate for you and teach you how to advocate for yourself. So in the waning moments that we have together, what message do you want to leave with our listeners about menopause, sexual health, and the importance of being able to advocate for yourself when you're not finding what you need and you've got to figure out how to get by, how to be treated like a whole human being?
Yeah, I wouldn't stand for, I would want women to know that they don't need to suffer, that they don't need to like be dismissed or turned away. Like if they're experiencing that, then they need to keep looking. They need to keep searching for that, you know, ask your friends, your family, like somebody in book club, like who do you see? Like this is what we need to talk about this. We need to bring it out of from behind the shadows and experience like what this is, like talk about it. What are the issues you're having with your sexual health? What are the issues you're having surrounding, you know, perimenopause and menopause? Like what is that like for you? Keep searching. Don't be turned away. If it feels yucky, it probably is. Trust that feeling and mm-hmm. know that you can, you know, find somebody who will partner with you. Like we're out there and, you know, we're in many different health systems and towns and, you know, like you're over in Green Bay, I'm in Wausau. Like, you know, there are people out there that want to take care of you and will, and want to help you live well as you age and, with health, vitality and, you know, optimize in all the ways that you can be optimized. I think like we're out there. This is becoming more of a movement, I think.
I think so too. Our numbers are growing. And I too am a menopause certified provider. But when I looked it up today, there were only two of us in Green Bay.
Yeah. And I'm not one of them yet. So I haven't yet done that test. I was working through different certificate programs and I'm always learning. There's more for me to do for sure.
There is more for all of us to do, especially those of us who are taking care of people from vulnerable populations, women who otherwise can't find care. Anita, where can we find your clinic online and on socials?
Sure. I'm at pausemedicine.com and my website's live. My phone's just got turned on today. Yay. And I'm also on social on Facebook and Instagram. And patients can book appointments with me online as well as discovery calls just to see if we're a good fit.
Great. And it's a 15-minute free consultation, mm-hmm. a discovery call.
That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Anita Bublik-Anderson, my colleague and friend, doing incredible work in Wausau, taking care of people who are suffering from menopause symptoms, sexual wellness, lifestyle medicine. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kristen. Such a pleasure.
Here's to the future, my friend. Cheers. All right. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can always find it on civicmedia.us and wherever you get your podcasts and on our YouTube channel at Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And please, we love your comments. So find me on the socials, send me a message, let me know what you thought of the episode and what you want to hear more of. Many thanks to Abraham Lyerly, our producer, and so much more, and Nick Tierman, who composed our theme song. And until next week, you're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Melissa has exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm is now heading directly for Jamaica. ABC's Anka Jachi is in Kingston with the latest.
Meteorologists say Melissa could become the strongest hurricane to impact the island in more than 35 years. In 1988, Hurricane Gilbert, a Category 4 storm, was widely considered the worst in the island's history. Now, with Melissa expected to make landfall in Jamaica Tuesday, experts warn its slow movement and track could have an even more devastating aftermath.
Two suspects have been arrested in connection with last week's brazen heist at the Louvre 1 week ago today. Police say the suspects live in a suburb of Paris, and we've learned today that DNA found at the scene is a match for one of the suspects. President Trump's in Malaysia for the ASEAN summit, and later this week, a meeting with China's President Xi. This is ABC News.